Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
I just want to say it does my heart good to see so many kids in this place tonight. I'm just weeping with joy of the Lord. You know, I'm telling you, when we were worshiping tonight, did this thing get taller? Normally I hang on it, but it's like taller than me tonight. When we were worshiping tonight, I'm telling you, I felt like I was going to explode with the revelation that the Lord is like showing me. I'm having these flashes of stuff, and I'm like, Lord, are you changing the message? Because he actually gave me bits and pieces throughout the week of revelation that he wants to share to help people overcome and walk in victory. And then at the same time, I'm getting this increase of revelation. And one of the last things I got was, you know, there's like major construction going on in the body of Christ. And I saw this flash vision of a church building. And then when I saw it, I thought, weren't we just praying on this Tuesday night? See, when you're in the Spirit, you can't tell, did I just pray on this? Or is this, you know? And so basically, I thought, did Kim share this Tuesday night in prayer? And I just don't know. But what I saw was a continuation of, I think it was from Tuesday, of a church being remodeled. But it wasn't like new carpeting. It was demolition down to the bones. And they were pulling off the drywall and exposing the walls and letting them breathe because there had been some mold and some mildew and some dead air that has built up in the building. And instead of dealing with the stench, they painted over it. And then instead of dealing with the stench, they painted over it again. And then instead of dealing with the issues, they carpeted it. And there were still issues and it was still stinking. And they were trying to manage it, micromanage it from a natural realm of this is how you do it, according to the book of How to Run a Church 101. And they were very unsuccessful. And at the same time, I saw in the Spirit a huge TV screen with a severe storm on it. And I thought, am I watching too much news, Lord? And this is all just happening right here and then. And then I remembered the dream that he gave me from the prophecy that I heard many, many years ago. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to share this because of the hurricane and all that, but this isn't about the hurricane. This is about what's going on right now in the body of Christ. And so I'll just give you an update. So many years ago, Holly saw this tornado, and you've taught on it, and then there's been updates. Then I heard that many, many years ago, and I had a dream, and in the dream, I was going to a conference, and we stopped at like a gas station, and there was this big natural disaster, big storm coming on the screen, and I remember getting caught up and looking at the screen and how bad the storm was, and they left without me. So I had a bunker down in this building, and a tornado came, and it wrecked the place. And when I woke up from the dream, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, what was that? And what it was I was not prepared. My house was built on the sand. My house was built on the sand, not on God's word. And it was built on my ideas and my agendas and my way of doing things and my natural thinking and what people have taught me. And what happened was I got caught up looking in the natural and I missed what was happening in the supernatural. Because what was happening in the supernatural, Holly and her friends were having a tea party in the center of this tornado. Now, I'm making light of it, but tonight I saw the screen. And I thought, good Lord, what am I seeing? Because it was a massive storm. And it was just a quick flash vision. And then the Lord reminded me of the dream. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I am not where I was when I first saw that dream, when I had that dream. I had to pray. See, God gives us dreams to pray through. He gives us dreams. He speaks to us in dream language. Because sometimes we think we got it all together. There's no problem here. Meanwhile, 911, you know, help. And so I like dreams. I pray on dreams. And so I also don't like to interpret other people's dreams. I'm just telling you that right now. And so I don't get a lot of people's stuff. But when God speaks to me, it's my language with him. And so there's an understanding sometimes. Sometimes I don't get any of it. But this is a season of pulling dreams off the shelf and looking at them. I could not shake this dream that somebody shared with me years ago. I think it was 2022. So it wasn't that long ago. And it was about... I'm just going to give you the paraphrase. It was about a beautiful house with lots of glass windows, a second story. There was a bear walking across the bottom. People were just, you know, having a good time. And then there was a hologram. Is that what they're called? Yeah. Hologram. Hologram. And people started chasing after the hologram. Well, it landed and it manifested. It came through the ceiling. And the one person picked it up and put it in their mouth, thinking, I'm going to look at this later, understand this later, not recognizing it's counterfeit. So when she spits it out of her mouth, it has a black fuse on it. So revelation, this is dangerous. Other people saw the hologram that were outside. Outside, get it? Not in the house of God, outside. They started to chase after the hologram, and they just went off their way. Okay, fast forward. That dream is shaking inside of me. And I'm like, why are you telling me about this dream? So I reach out to the person. I say, hey, you remember that dream? She, barely. I said, you know, could you send it to me, what you remember? And her version of it was like three sentences compared to the seven pages that she emailed me when it first came through. And so we were both shocked by it, you know. But it's a now dream. And why I say that is the counterfeit, the deceiver, is roaming rampantly right now. And you know, I see what's going on sometimes, not always. I catch bits and pieces. I don't like to be deceived. When I'm too busy, it's easy to deceive me. If I'm preoccupied with chasing after stuff, it's easy to get deceived. And so I'm you know, people are talking to me and I'm hearing stuff, and the theme this week is deception. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to teach on it. Come on. Give me something else. Faith, something, you know. How to raise the dead. Deception, that seems so boring, you know. And so I kind of, when he pushed it at me, I pushed it back. Then I get a report of somebody who, you know, ended up having an encounter and it wasn't real. It was a counterfeit and they think it's real. And I'm like pushing it back. And then I get a phone call yesterday. And it's somebody who wants to share something with me. Do you have a minute? And I think I got two of those calls yesterday. And so I don't respond right away because I could be on the phone all day helping people with their do you have a minute, which is usually an hour. And so I try to schedule my times to return those calls when I actually do have some free time. So I listened to what this person was telling me, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, God wants me to talk about this, you know, because this is a third one, you know, in a week. And so I'm like, okay, Lord. So I was amazed at how well she handled the situation that came her way. And the reason why she handled it was because she knows her word. And she prays in tongues. And so I'm laying in bed late last night talking to the Lord, and I'm like, I feel like I'm supposed to ask her to email me her testimony of what happened and share it. And so she responded right away and said she would. I said, give me the short version, because she loves to talk, you know. And so I get the short version, and I said, I'll share what I can off it, you know. But so I have it. I want to read it because there's some good tools in it, and this is kind of like what's going on today in the world, in case you want to know, okay? Thank you, Mary. Yeah.
Because I feel like he said something really profound, and it went really fast, but it was like so deep.
Yeah.
You said like two things that make you prone to deception. I think you said one of them was when you're really busy.
Yeah.
Right?
Moving too fast.
Moving too fast, or chasing other things, like focus a little too much on the world.
Yeah. 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 Chasing other things. It could be good things. It could be bad things. But things are not God. And so we need to anchor in the Word now more than ever. And, you know, I'm like on the inside. But I just want to share this. This happened on September 27th, so not that long ago. Feeding the homies. I remember feeling different this day leading up to feeding the homies. Another pastor in town called me requesting my assistance with feeding the homies. I said yes. I don't usually ask for extra prayer coverage from another partner in ministry, but that day I did. I listened to the unction of the Holy Spirit. I prayed and set the atmosphere up before arrival, like I normally do to prepare. On my way to feed the homies, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "Pray in tongues the whole way there and not another word." I already felt the caution. As each homie was coming through the line, one man caught my eye. He was tall, long, brown hair, eyes very blue and white. His smile was clean and white. In fact, he was wearing a clean white button-up shirt. He was beautiful, not what I was used to seeing for that group of homies. Homies, homeless people. You guys got that right? It caught my attention. He was very well-spoken, clear, concise, not high like most others. I said, "You're not from around here, are you?" He said, "No." I told him, when we were done feeding everyone, I would come talk with him. He smiled and said, "Okay." When I walked up to him, I had my anointing oil in my hand, and the first thing he said to me was, "I don't want that on me. Your oil, please don't put that on me. I don't want it." I didn't think anything of that. I respect everyone's wishes. I said, "Okay, well, would you like me to pray with you? Like any blessings or anything?" He said, "No." He didn't need prayer because, "As the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, He is also on me too. I'm the Son of God." I was a little baffled at this and said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I understood what you said." He repeated it. I said, "No, you aren't. Jesus is the Son of God." He said, "No, that's not true. I'm the first Son of God. My name is Lucifer." Not quite sure where to take that conversation to next, I kind of dismissed myself by saying, "Okay, well, you have a good day." After that, I moved on to the next person, and right away, the next person declined any prayer at all. This wasn't normal. The atmosphere shifted almost like a wall went up, and I could feel it. Baffled by that experience, I walked over to finish helping the other pastors finish cleaning up. As I was wiping down the table, the same man approached me and put his hand out, palm up, in front of me and asked, "Are you still willing to put oil on my hand?" All I heard so bold, loud and clear was, "Protect your anointing and protect my oil." I looked up and said, "No." "I'm sorry, but no." He looked at me and smiled and said, "It is written, 'Ye not judge, for the measure that ye judge, you will be judged.'" I felt this boldness, almost kind of anger, come over me, and I looked right at him and said, "It is also written, 'I overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.'" He looked at me and smiled and said, "Have a wonderful day." And he walked away, trying to grasp and comprehend what had just happened. I was more worried that he'd complain I was rude and I wouldn't be allowed back. But then I kept looking around and I couldn't find or see him. But I felt like I was being watched. I quickly started praying, pleading the blood of Jesus over myself, put my right hand on my head, and commanded anything of witchcraft, sorcery, an evil plot, plan, scheme, or evil assignment, astral projection, any word curse, hexes, vexes, incantations, to loosen from me in the name of Jesus, just wiping and clearing myself completely from the experience. I felt the warfare of that incident for a couple days. Amen. Now, this is, you know, this she's an evangelist. She's very bold. And I feel like when she sent me this, this is a word of the hour. You know, we're being challenged. You know, so often we know the Christian lingo. "I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?" You know, we know hallelujah. We know turn the other cheek. But do we know the word of God and the power of the word of God? Do we know the power of the blood of Jesus? And I feel like there's a shaking going on to wake us up because we're ill-equipped and we're malnourished in the churches. And you can think I'm picking on churches. I'm picking on me. I'm picking on everybody. I'm picking because we need to grow in God. We have to get past is tongues for today. We have to get past is healing for today. We have to get past is that church got an anointing? Does that pastor make you do that? You know, whatever. You know, am I getting a buzz off of that message? We have to get past me. And focus on him, because he's the true source of light. And in this day, deception will be knocking. Now, this girl, that agent of the enemy, was sent to steal and cut her course, her walk in God. But she listened. First off, something's different today. Holy Spirit says, pray in tongues. She likes to talk. She prayed in tongues the whole time for her drive. She obeyed. And because she obeyed, she was protected. Now, how many times do we go down the road and we think, oh, I'm going to just turn right, and the Holy Spirit says, go straight. And we're like, oh, that can't be the Holy Spirit. Start practicing, listening, and obeying to the simple things, because the simple things are this little small testing of building your faith. We are in a time and a season where we need to be mature and start commanding and demanding God's word and not expecting God to come and deliver a package that says this is your victory. Sometimes we have to contend for the faith. Sometimes we have to contend for the breakthrough. And do you get weary sometimes? Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I love the phrase that Holly uses. One of us is going down, and it's not me. And get that in your gut now before you need it when you're in the battle. And so I've been praying and, you know, trying to figure out how to, you know, what the Lord is really saying. And I've got some scriptures tonight. You know, I'm going to read in Matthew first. Matthew 7. I can't really see. The lights are too dim. I'm guessing that's a 15, but it might not be. But the words are big enough, I can see the words. So, constantly be on your guard against phony prophets. This is out of the Passion Translation. Now listen, don't get caught up. Constantly be on guard against phony prophets. They come disguised as lambs, appearing to be genuine, but on the inside they are like wild, ravenous wolves. You can spot them by their actions, for their fruits of their character will be obvious. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to say, and I sadly say this, most people can't spot a wolf anymore. I mean, I remember one day, one of my friends was going to this church, and I was kind of like being crushed, and, you know, dying to self, blah, blah, blah. And the Lord said, and that was back when I rode my motorcycle, and the Lord said, I want you to go to this church. And so I go there, and I pull up, and I meet my friend, and I say, how come you guys got a witch working in your daycare? And it just came out of my mouth like that. She's like, she's a witch? I go, oh, I didn't mean to say it so obviously, but yeah, she is. You know, we have to grow in discernment. And see, the enemy has come in disguised, acting like it's a sheep and it's a wolf. And there are so many planted in the body of Christ, they've infiltrated the body of Christ. Now, don't get weird and suspicious. Tune into the Holy Spirit. Here's a few clues. If you're uncomfortable, if you have like an uncomfortableness inside you, that's probably the Holy Spirit trying to warn you, to wake you, to shake you out of your slumber, to check in and say, what's up here? And so, as I keep reading, you can spot them by their actions, for the fruits of their character will be obvious. You won't find sweet grapes hanging on a thorn bush, and you'll never pick good fruit from a tumbleweed. So if the tree is good, it will produce good fruit. But if the tree is bad, it will bear only rotten fruit and deserves to be cut down and burned. You'll know them by the obvious fruit of their lives and ministries. And I keep thinking of that scripture, you know, hidden reefs in your love fest. You know, they're hidden. You know, and sometimes they're not easy to find because their fruit is counterfeit fruit, or sometimes there's an inkling of something that comes out, but they're living a double life. And we are in the day where we are going to be shocked at what we see, and because our little hearts think, oh no, I can't believe that person was so steeped in sin. Listen, sin is knocking at the door every day. And there's a scripture that says, turn your back on sin. Flee from it. Some people entice and draw sin. They like it. It's like a game they play. It's an addiction. It's a sick thing. And they think, oh, just a little fire won't burn me. Listen, fire burns. Fire burns. You can hold it close or hold it far, but it'll burn you eventually. And so justification, see, that's the problem that we have, is justification. Because you didn't get burned the first time, you think you can get away with it the second time, and meanwhile, the deceiver's whispering in your ear, a little won't hurt. God is calling us to holiness and righteousness. He won't be shared. His glory will not be shared. He loves a temple clean and pure where he can manifest through somebody who respects and reveres the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. But the problem is the church is so dull and been eating counterfeit candy for so long, they couldn't recognize if Jesus Christ walked in the building or not. I'm sorry to say it, but we've got to get out of the slumber. We've got to kill. We've got to peel off the dead man. We've got to stop wearing the cloak of bondage. And how do you do it? By the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Word is the measuring stick. The Word is what tells you what is pure, what is right, what is holy. I could tell you, but you won't believe me because that's a flesh. But when you hear it from the Word is a seed and it's alive and it goes in your heart. It convicts you. It brings forth truth. It's a mirror and it equips you and it grows you, but you have to eat it. And here's what happens. So many people, because of the social media, they'd rather get it from a teaching. It's easier to hear it from a teaching. Somebody prophetic, just tell me what's going on right now. How about you go ask God? How about you get it instead of hearing a parrot from a parrot from a parrot? Go to the source. His sheep know his voice. Listen, we got to grow up, guys. We got to grow up. And so, how did I get so far away from this? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the heaven's kingdom. Into heaven's kingdom. It is only those who persist in doing the will of my heavenly Father. Persist, persist, persist. On the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, don't you remember us? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons and do many miracles in your name? But I will have to say to them, go away from me, you lawless rebels. I've never been joined to you. Joined. Do you know what joined to you means? It's like marriage. It's like intimacy. Joined. Everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. When the rains fell and the floods came, with fierce winds beating upon his house, it stood firm because of its strong foundation. But everyone who hears my teaching and does not apply it to his life can be compared to a foolish man who built his house on sand. When it rained, and the floods came, and winds and waves beating upon his house, it collapsed and was swept away. I remember the day the winds came, and the storms blew, and the accusations flew, and the fingers were pointed at me. I remember the day. And guess what? My house collapsed like a flat pancake. I thought, oh, I'm so good. I got everything so right. I was so far off, but yet I thought I was right. Deception. How do we know when we're in deception? I'm going to get further into that. But listen, the winds are blowing, and I'm not talking about hurricanes. I'm talking spiritually. Spiritually. We are seeing it in the churches. God, remember how he gave the word from the Lord? God is sweeping the churches out, sweeping out sin and ungodliness. You know, we can no longer pretend it's not there. We can no longer paint over it. That season's over. We are to the foundation right now. Everyone's foundations are being exposed and examined, And if it's a strong foundation, it's built in the Word of God. And if it's not, it's going to collapse. And guess what? Let it collapse. Because it's a man-built structure, it'll never withstand the winds that are blowing. Let it collapse and let God be your builder. Let Him build His house that He wants for your life. It's so much better than yours anyway. I remember thinking, I have it all. I've got everything. Life is great. And then the winds blew, and, you know, first the roof shook, and then finally the shingles. Pretty soon the windows blew out, and pretty soon the walls fell down, and pretty soon it was just me standing there. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And did I think, oh, God, what's going to happen to me? I said, Lord, I need you. Lord, you got to help me. I know I built this. I know it was all man-made flesh. I'm sorry. I repent. Show me the way. Teach me your truth. And little by little, brick by brick, He has helped me build a strong house, a strong tower. And when the winds come, sometimes I just laugh. Shoo, fly, shoo. Okay. I'm going to switch over to... I'm going into 2 Timothy. So this week, I had a bad report come to me. And I knew it was a good report, but sometimes when you know something but you just don't want to deal with it, you try to put it off. It's kind of like, you know, maybe organizing a closet that's 10 years in the making of a mess, and you're just like, you know what, I'm going to get to that someday. And then you're like, oh, you want to go to the movies? Okay. And so you just put it off another day. That was kind of what was happening. And somebody confirmed to me some stuff that I already knew, but I just didn't want to deal with it. But the Lord wanted to deal with it. And He'd been wanting to deal with it, but I just kept pushing it off. And so I was confronted with it. And then I had to process with my emotions without being emotionally swayed, because I felt sad. You know, because it's actually accusations against the Father. You know, and so that bothers me, but it never bothers the Father. And so I had to process that. And so I woke up, and I'm like, Lord, what's going on? And He said, you know what, read 2 Timothy. And I love 2 Timothy. It's like good instruction to me. It's one of those books that when I read, it's like he's like instructing me personally how to be responsible as a citizen of the kingdom of God, and how not to react in the flesh when persecution comes, or, you know, obstacles get thrown your way. And so, and endure as a good soldier. And remember what you're called to do. It's none of this. Stay focused on this. And so it's kind of like a realignment, and I just love that. And so I was reading in it, and it's been spinning in me all week, you know. And so unrelated to tonight's message, it really is related, but I didn't know it when I was reading it, because I was in a different spot, and so it fed me in that area. But I went to it today, and I want to read to you 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the Passion, and it's called Characteristics of the Last Days. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered, lovers of themselves, and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. Slaves to their desires, they will be ferocious, belligerent, haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasure of this world more than the pleasures of loving God. They may pretend to have a respect for God, but in reality, they want nothing to do with God's power. Stay away from people like these, for they are the ones who worm their way into the heart of vulnerable women. Spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and steeped in sin. They are always learning, but never discover the revelation knowledge of truth. And so, you know, I kind of, when I read that, I'm like, for they are the ones who worm their way into the hearts of the churches. You know, the hearts of people. It's not just women. Spending the night with those who are captured by their lusts and their own desires. History has given us an example of this with the Egyptian sorcerers Jans and Jambres, who stood against Moses in their arrogance. So it will be in the last days with those who reject the faith and their corrupt minds and arrogant hearts standing against the truth of God. Now, I want to stop there because I'm sure I'm saying those names wrong, but I looked that up, and I want to tell you, you know, because I remembered the story, but what I found fascinating, I don't know if I brought it with me, and if I didn't, I can probably just tell you. You know, that was back in the day when, oh, I didn't, okay. That was back when Moses went to Pharaoh and was like, let my people go, and then he threw the stick down, and it became a snake, and then Pharaoh called his sorcerers, he called the magicians, and one other group of people, which are evil, I can't remember what they're called, and they threw their stick down, and it became a snake. But Aaron's stick ate the snake, you know, so that God trumped on that one. But like three more times, it was the frogs and it was one other thing. And then they couldn't compete, so to speak, with the false signs and wonders. Those are false signs and wonders. Gods are real, those are false. But didn't they look real? So depending on whose camp you're in, deception is either going to blind your eyes and you are going to be caught up in the false signs and wonders. And I'm saying that because I keep thinking of the hologram. I actually heard this, and I was shocked by it. There's actually churches now that do hologram teaching. Like they hologram the pastor into the satellite church. And I'm not against satellite churches. I don't care about any of that. But I'm telling you, artificial intelligence is a two-edged sword. You know, it's designed to trick us. It could be to learn something. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I know the younger people understand it better than me. My son, he'll be like, Mom, that's fake. Now, I have discerning of spirits, and I should know when a picture's fake or not. And he's like, can't you tell by the eyes? You know, and I'm like, You know, what happens is it plays on your emotions. Oh, you know, it's designed to. And so let me just go back to the false signs and wonders. We're seeing it in churches. And this has been going on for years. It just didn't happen now. I remember years ago somebody who was very active in witchcraft and astral projection and tried to challenge me in the spirit and, you know, didn't win, obviously. But she tried again another scheme. She sent me something, an email, with false signs and wonders, and she wanted me to watch it. And as soon as I saw the first, I'm like, I don't even want a false image going in my brain. And I clicked it off, and I said, never send me anything again. And, you know, some people are attracted to any signs and wonders. They don't even check to see if it's the Lord or not. They're just so desperate for something, for a feel-good goosebump, you know, experience so that they can brag or share or act like they know more than somebody else. Listen, that is all rubbish. Let an arm grow out? Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, let somebody testify that just got raised from the dead? Awesome. But fake fire, fake signs and wonders, I don't want any part of it. How will you discern the difference? Through exercise of your gifting of discerning the spirits. Everyone in here should be asking the Lord to increase your discernment. Amen. And then increase the Word of God in your life. We have to be, the Word is the plumb line. The Word is the surest form of any sign and wonder. It is a historical document that is alive. No other document. Well, I don't know that. But all I know is the Word of God is the heartbeat of God. And when I read the Word, it's like eating bread of life. It nourishes me. Now, I can listen to a teaching. Those are cool. But there's something about the Word of God. There's nothing else like the Word of God. And it is held up through the test of time. And so I'm just saying we have to get shrewd with recognizing deception. And so I got to tell you a few things about... First, I got to finish this. So when those fake signs and wonders with those two guys. But they will not advance, for everyone will see their madness, just as they did with James and Jambres. So eventually, false signs and wonders lead to madness because it's counterfeit. It's designed for bondage. It's not designed for freedom and victory. It'll always keep you as a slave and eventually torment. But you, Timothy, you, Kim, you, Barbara, you, Mary Jo, have closely followed my example and the truth that I have imparted to you. You have modeled your life after the love and endurance, there's that word, I've demonstrated in my ministry by not giving up. Not giving up. The faith I have, you now have. What I have hungered for in life has now become your longing as well. See, you hang with hungry people in God. You hang with people seeking him, not for gain, personal gain, but because it's all about him. I don't care if I preach. I don't care about anything. I just want to be a vessel, his vessel. He can use me any way he wants, publicly or privately. I just like being with him. It's not about anything else. And that is the heart. It's relationship. And so I follow after. Like when I hooked up with Edgar and Holly, I saw the fruit. I witnessed it with my own eyes. I'm like, I want that. How do I do that? Well, you hang with people like that, you can't help but start falling into that anointing because it'll stand the test of time because it's pure and it's holy and it's not tainted with flesh. So, I'm going to skip that, and then I'm just going to say a couple more things about the Holy Spirit. So 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Yikes! Yikes! They devote themselves. Devote. Second Corinthians 11:14 and 15. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So, if Satan can transform himself into an angel of light and his little minions can imitate him, just like that letter I read you, that was an angel of darkness masquerading as an angel of light. How do we discern the difference? And wasn't it interesting that he quoted a scripture about judgment? And wasn't it interesting she quoted the scripture about the blood of Jesus, you know, and the word of her testimony? She said she could feel the Holy Spirit pushing that out of her. And when the whole thing's happening afterwards, you're like, did that just happen? You know, you lock away and you go, what was that, Lord? And he's like, that a girl, you know. And it's not to boast, it's because you boast in him and you boast in the Holy Ghost. But I want to tell you something. Oh, there's my notes on that. Gosh, these are all messed up. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to say this delicately, but I think I can't, because we just need to hear the truth, flat out truth. There are some religions who actually encourage visitation from familiar spirits. And if you want me to name it, I will, but I don't want to. But it starts with a C and ends with an A, I think. No, I don't know how to spell it. So anyway, I mean, what's that? Catholics. I'll tell you something. I can tell a Catholic when I pray for them. When they come up for the very first time, I can tell. They all have a spirit on them. And it's easy to break off, but they are taught man-made junk, and it causes problems in their life. I remember years ago, a good friend of mine, her daughter, somebody broke into the house and they killed the daughter. And it was like a cold-blooded murder. It was horrible. And she, the mother, started having visitations from the daughter. I'm like, that ain't your daughter. What do you do in a situation like that? It was comforting her soul, but yet it was a familiar spirit, which is a foul devil, an angel of darkness. I couldn't let it go. I had to ask the Holy Spirit, what do I do? What do you do in a situation? I just didn't want to go up to her and say, hey, listen, that's a devil that's visiting you. That's not your daughter. You can't go like that. You say, Holy Spirit, should I say something? What should I say, and when should I say it? Or maybe I just pray for a long time on it until something bubbles up by the Holy Ghost. So anyway, I did confront her in a gentle way, and our friendship ended. And, it was sad, but I stand before God, and I cannot not tell the truth. I can't. I give an account, and I don't want him to say, you know what, you blew it on that, and look at what happened to her. She didn't make it because of you. I don't want that on my hands. I don't want the blood of somebody's soul screaming out. So I want to tell you something. Familiar spirits they're familiar for a reason. You know, they're designed to trick you and encourage you. If you have issues in your house, banging, knocking, those are familiar spirits, okay? That's not the plumbing. It's not your Aunt Ruth. Okay, it's a devil. It's a demon disguised as an angel of light, disguised as your relative, but it is a counterfeit spirit designed to block you from progressing in your intimacy with God. That's the whole point of it. And so I know people who meditate and try to travel in the spirit and you know, have sat under some weird teaching. And I've known people that have meditated and sat under some interesting teaching. And I know some people who have sat under the Holy Ghost and just experienced wonderful things or some strange things. Listen, always check with the Spirit of God. Test the spirits. And, I'm not going to go too deep in this tonight, but I would like to someday. But I just want to say, when you're having encounters, supernatural encounters, test those spirits and test them again and test them again and test them again, because if you're dull, they'll lie to you. And so I just want to give you a couple tips about the wonderful Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the words of God with boldness. 2 Timothy 1:14. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. John 20:22. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the comforter. He is the Spirit of truth and dwells inside of you. Don't get confused by a familiar spirit. Don't be deceived by a false devil masquerading as the Holy Spirit, trying to entice you to go down this path of destruction. There's a scripture, and I don't have it with me tonight, but in the last days, there are some people who are pursuing evil spirits, thinking it is the Lord. It's not the Lord, and eventually they will be turned over to that because they didn't heed the warning. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern. If you're involved in anything, ask him to help you discern, is it good or is it evil? There is no in between. When I was young, you know, I for some reason, the supernatural is very active in my life, always has been. But there was a time when I started chasing after the experience instead of him. And he so gently corrected me, and I had a choice at that time to say, I'm going after the goosebump, or I'm going to go after you. And I said, I'm going after you, and I don't care about a goosebump. And because I made that choice, deception has a hard time getting in my heart. But if I like the goosebumps only and don't care about the word, or don't, you know, just go to conference to feel good, get the next goosebump, let me carry it over for 2 weeks or a month, or, you know, live on the word of the prophet for the till the next season. Listen, seasons are changing quickly. We need to know what God is saying right now. Right now. The atmosphere is electric right now. There's so much going on. If you just checked in, you'd be like, whoa. Start checking in. But use the word of God as your sword, as your weapon. Because the enemy's going to come and challenge every one of you. That's his job. He's going to say, is it written? Is it true? Do you know? And you got to say, devil, get behind me. You got to say, it is written. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm blessed of the Lord. Live and not die. Storm, go in the name of Jesus. You have no authority over this area. We have to take our position in God, seated in heavenly places, not seated here, seated in heavenly places where we rule and reign. Ask the Lord to teach you what that means, and don't go looking for a teaching. Ask Him to teach you. Ask Him to show you what that means. And then do the little practices, the little assignments that He gives you. It might be read Proverbs. It might be, you know, spend time praying in tongues. Do what He tells you to do. And guard your heart against distractions. Amen? Any questions? Quiet group. Yes, Kimmy?
It's like a wrong motive. Like, is that an open door to deception?
Yeah. Absolutely. So we all have wrong motives when we start, Kim. It's all about us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember when you first got saved?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm saved. I know everything. I'm good. Life is great. Until the first wind blows. We're like little kids. We think we know it all, and we think it's all about us. As you grow in God, you know less and less because He knows more and more, and you realize you know nothing, and everything you do know comes from Him and not you. Does that help you? Anybody else? Let's talk about idols. Do you guys want to talk about idols?
Yeah.
Idols. 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 I'm waiting for the Lord to give me something, but here's one thing I see right now. You know, idols will bring a curse. They will never bring a blessing of the Lord because God will not share in His glory or in His worship. We were created to worship Him, Him alone, and idolatry will sneak in, whether it's a dog.
A what?
A dog. A horse. A cat. A car. A house. A kid. A spouse. I can't hear you.
Certainty?
Certainty? Is that a word? I don't even know that word.
Like you're so sure.
Oh, you're sure yourself? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can tell I don't have that one. Yeah, yeah. Self, self, self. You know, if we exalt ourselves above the Lord, I keep thinking of that idol. Is it Dagog? Is that the one that, you know, whoops, it fell. It crushed. You know, God doesn't take idolatry lightly. We do, but He doesn't. And we justify because we think, oh, well, He hasn't said anything. Well, it's okay. You know, it's okay. That pet comforts me. My value is in that. That's idolatry. Your value is in Jesus Christ, your Father. It's not in your spouse, your horse, your kids, your ministry. You want to say something? I know you do. I can feel it over there. Come on up, Polly B.
Just one kind of concept that has really saved my life, and I believe it's something that God helped me understand about deception. How do we make sure we're not deceived? And the concept is this. When you make Jesus Lord and not just Savior, that's a big deal. A lot of people are born again, but they don't make him Lord. They said the prayer because somebody said, say this prayer and you'll make it to heaven and you'll escape hell. But if he's not Lord, there is an open door, because when he's not truly first, we don't know it, but we're shaking hands with the enemy on many other levels. The Bible says we're drawn away of our own lusts and enticed. It's our own desires that get us. And so let's say I'm born again, but I really don't have Jesus as Lord. When Jesus is Lord and he says, no, Holly, I don't have that for you, that thing you want so much and you think that's going to make you happy, that person, that whatever, marriage, that house, that farm, all those things you think you want, I have something else for you, which will be better. That's not what I have for you. If I go, well, nice talking to you, Jesus, but I want that. Now I have unwittingly shaken hands with the enemy. And I have said, like you, Jesus, but love this more. So this is now my idol. I'm bowing down to it. And I don't know it, but I've just opened the door to the curse, which can be poverty, sickness, losing my child, can be all kinds of things. So a lot of times people say, why did God let that happen to me? God didn't let that happen to you, you did. And I'm not trying to be mean. I learned this by getting clobbered. And I learned that the safe, you know, Joyce Meyer said something years ago. She said the safest way to stay out of temptation is keep your heart right. And I remember, you know, kind of tilt, you know. But over the years I saw what she meant. If you keep your heart pure, in other words, Jesus, if you say no, it's no. If you say, Holly, that's not for you, it's not for me. I don't want to have an opinion. I don't care if I want it. If I think my flesh wants it, I will cut it off. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's not talking about your hand. It's talking about that relationship, that whatever, that idol, that lifestyle, whatever it is, cut it off. What happens is if we make him Lord, automatically most inroads to deception just fall away because they lose their hold, because you're looking at him not just as a savior, you're looking at him as the king of your life from whom you take your life direction, and just closes the door.
Amen. Father, I just thank you for tonight. Lord, we honor you and bless you. We say yes to correction and direction. Lord, I ask you right now to show each and every one of us if we have any idolatry in our heart. If we are walking in deception in any way, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to correct us, whether it be directly or through your word or through a dream. I bless this time and this season that you have called us to be in, and I pray a strengthening, an inner strengthening in our inner man to stand tall against the schemes of the enemy, but walk boldly in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from spiritofgodworldwide.com.